this is Mike Vandervoort. I'm hosting today. Today's Thursday, June 25th, and we're in day four of our lesbian, gay, or let's just say LGBT Pride Week shows. And I was joking on the pre-show. All right, so I'm as bad as you. Hours ahead. Our guest today, who is not a ghost, is Steph Grant. Steph is somebody I've known for a while through connection at summer camp and TDN2K, which is one of the conferences that William Tincup and I go to a lot, and seems to be one of the greatest talent magnet groups ever under the leadership of Joni and Wally Doolin, and that's how I met Steph. Steph, welcome to Drive Through HR, and thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so, so excited about this, and I was having a little dance party to your intro music.
Yeah. And that, I keep thinking I got to change that up. We have other sessions, and I've used it all week. You know, consistency, I guess. Steph, I was joking with Steph. Steph literally climbed mountains to be on the show today. She's in an island paradise somewhere in the Pacific and had to hike and go to a coffee shop to kind of find a cell phone signal. So we really appreciate you getting up in the very early morning and taking a brisk walk and being on the show. Why don't you introduce yourself? Just give us a bio about you and a bit about your background, and then we'll get into the conversation.
Of course, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I was looking forward to this since you mentioned it a couple of days ago. So thank you so much for having me on the show. Sorry about the morning voice. I'm just now having my coffee, and I hope I don't lose you. But, yeah, my name's Steph Grant. I'm originally from California. I live in Dallas, Texas now, and I'm currently on the Big Island, so up on a hill. And I quit my job, my corporate job about 5 years ago to start my own business, and that's when I made the trek to Dallas to kind of be somewhere central. And it's kind of funny, I don't seem maybe like the type, but I used to work in human resources at a hospital, so it kind of hits home. I love it. And then I worked at Hurley headquarters in Costa Mesa, California, and then finally I decided I wanted to work for myself and travel the world, go on adventures, hear people's stories. So right now I document love stories for a living, and I also started a movement called the Promote Love Movement. So I travel around shooting love stories and promoting love. Not a bad gig.
No, and you actually for it. We've had a couple guests on today, this week, that I've talked to on Tuesday. We had a woman whose name is Lara Loft. She's living in Colombia. She's a recruiter, and her partner who proposed to her have a global business. I mean, it's two of them, so it's not big global business, but they run a translation and recruiting service in Bogota, Colombia. And yesterday I talked to a consultant who does work gender side and has been doing that for quite a while based on her own personal experience. So it's been quite interesting to, you know, not just talk about LGBT stuff, but to, you know, kind of see how people are adapting to the new economy. And so anyway, you, Steph, you literally blew up the internet here a couple times with photos. One that was, I think was probably the most memorable. I thought it was just fantastically beautiful. You shot an Indian couple, two women who were married, and the photographs were fantastic. But I think there was some like cultural resonance. You want to tell us a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, I would love to. Oh my gosh, it feels like yesterday, which is crazy because the wedding was in June of 2013. I posted my blog just like I normally do on my personal business website, and within maybe a week, my website crashed. I had never had that happen before, so I just thought it was technical difficulty. And then I started getting emails from Huffington Post, Mashable, Cosmo. I was like, what the heck is happening? And that wedding made its way all around the world to places I will never even see. And to this day, I still get emails from kids, from LGBT youth, asking me advice on how to come out to their parents, how to start a business, it's amazing. It is incredible. But that wedding, it was gorgeous. I mean, if you saw the images and that love story, it was stunning. It was hard not to look at those pictures and that love story and want to support the LGBT community. I don't see how you could not support it after that. But I was just happy to be a part of it and to be there documenting it. It was gorgeous. It was maybe about 90 people in Los Angeles at a little venue called the Smog Shop. And you could just, I think the biggest compliment that I received on that wedding and a few of the other ones that I've shot are, it's when someone says, I felt like I had a front row seat at that intimate wedding. And that just, that makes my day, because that is my goal as a wedding photographer and as a storyteller, is to put someone into my life, in my shoes, and get a front row seat for that. So.
And it was picked up, I think, by George Takei, right? He posted
yeah.
it on his, which probably blew
and
up your website again.
Oh, my gosh. That blew my mind. Like, and that was actually maybe a few weeks ago. So it had already made its rounds, and then he posted that on his, I think he has like a following of 5 million on Facebook or something ridiculous. So, yeah, that was just humbling in and of itself.
Because in India, and I'm not, I mean, I don't mean, I've been there for a week and saw like seven mm-hmm. cities. So I saw like everything for 5 minutes. But in India, culturally being gay is kind of
highly frowned upon.
That's frowned upon. And yet just within the last couple of weeks, I saw an article that I was telling my wife about where a brand there, and I can't think of the brand, I wish I could, but I just can't. A brand there is running a store, a commercial or an advert as they call it in India. And it's a story of two women who are you know, just talking to each other, and they discuss how to come out to their parents.
I have seen that.
Have you?
I've heard of
that,
yes.
So I guess my question was, did you receive much, like, feedback from the Indian side of the world about those pictures?
Oh, my gosh. Definitely. You know, it was so crazy, because when it did take off, I mean, you cannot make something go viral, and you can't stop it from going viral. And I learned that quickly. And so I had no idea what I was in for, because I'm like, okay, this can go one of two ways, or I could get, you know, a ton of support, or I could get, you know, some backlash for it. And I was just sitting at my office like, what am I going to do? Well, I'm getting these emails from all around the world, and India, a lot from India. And it was a majority of it was supportive. They were so supportive that I was blown away. I really was. And just people thanking me, which I was like, I didn't do anything. But I think after that, I was like, I need to be some sort of activist within the community, because I had such such a huge opportunity with that. So I would get emails, and I kept them all in a folder because I had to document it, but of people saying, hey, you know what, I view the LGBT community differently now because of this wedding and this love story and these photos, and like, thank you. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. These are people in India that are just being courageous and brave and coming out and asking me for advice. So it is very humbling.
Yeah, no doubt. So let's back up from that for just a minute, and let's go back to your HR career. I don't really want to talk about your HR. You've gone on to, you know, bigger and better things. But I guess what I'm always curious about is the backstory of how you decided to, you know, to make that leap, right? There's a lot of HR practitioners who do it all their lives, and then there are others who want to try or aspire to try different things. Can you talk about how kind of like your decision process and what led you? I mean, I'm sure a lot of it was passion for what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get on that path, and how did the decision get made in your case?
So how did I get into HR, and then why did I decide to move away from it?
Yeah, I guess. And start going down the path of being, you know, what you are today.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I love talking about this story because, I mean, every career that I've ever been involved in, it kind of paves the way with the people I meet, and paves the way to something almost bigger and better. But I couldn't have done it without those people that I met in HR at that hospital in Orange County. And I was there for almost 4 years, and I was young. I was 20 years old, I think, when I started in human resources, and I'm 32 now. It was kind of like a temp position at first. When I was in church, I met someone who worked at the hospital, and she's like, hey, you know, don't you need a job? And I was like, yeah, I was looking. And she's like, well, we have a temp position in HR. And honestly, at the time, I had no idea what that even meant. I was like, HR, human resources, like, tell me about it. Like, I really didn't know. And somehow I was, I got the temp position, was there for 90 days, had the review, and they were like, we love you, we want to keep you on. So I became an HR representative, worked my way up, took over for the employment specialist. I was interviewing when she was on maternity leave. I ran the benefits. Like, it was crazy. And it was a different lifestyle. I look back on that now and I was like, how did I ever do that? But, you know, it's all part of the story and I love that. But I was training with the VP of HR for that hospital to kind of eventually be in a bigger position. But I ended up quitting in 2007. I got a job offer through some friends that I met, again, randomly, and started working at Hurley headquarters in Costa Mesa, the surf company, and they're owned by Nike. I was there for a few years, so it kind of just, it made sense for me because I didn't think that I could, I mean, it is for some people climbing the corporate ladder, but I am so independent and I want to do things my own way and I want to mess up and learn from my mistakes and have those be my thing and also make my own schedule. I felt completely stale in a cubicle wearing suit and heels. I couldn't do it. And so I would write about it. I would blog about it all the time for years before I made that leap. And it was the scariest thing I've ever done. And then what's even scarier is when you quit your job, you leave everything familiar and move away to a new place. And then my camera got stolen.
Which
is my, yeah, my main source of making income. So, yeah, I didn't mean to kind of went off on a rant, but, yeah.
No, that's
does that cover?
Pretty free form. This is storytelling on the radio. It's not images. It's
perfect.
Storytelling. Yeah.
That's my kind of thing.
Right.
So
you jumped,
it's definitely been an adventure.
You jumped out of the corporate life and your camera got stolen. So how did you launch your photography part of it? I mean, were you already doing that on the side? Obviously, you must have known something about photography. How did you go about building your kind of your new thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So while I was at Hurley, I remember I got my first camera ever in 2006. It was January of 2006, and I was going to New York City for the first time. And I was like, I cannot go to the city without a camera. So I'm that person where if I want to buy a camera, I'm going to buy something nice and not just, you know, a cheaper one. So I got a Canon 10D, and at the time that was like a really nice camera. They don't even make it anymore. But so I took it to the city. I was taking some graphic design classes at night while working full time. And so I kind of started in with Photoshop and it intrigued me about photography, but I had no idea what I was doing. And I still have never been to school for it. So it's kind of like a live and learn, make mistakes and learn along the way. But after New York, Hurley, the art shows, they decided that they wanted to sponsor or they decided that they wanted to showcase some of my art in their LA gallery. And I was like, my art? Oh my gosh, they just call it art? Because I was just snapping photos. And so I had my art, my photography featured in a gallery in Los Angeles sponsored by Hurley. And it just kind of kept unfolding. And I would take on gigs on the side, like a few family sessions here and there. And finally I was like, you know what? I can't take it anymore. I need to just, I would sit in my cubicle and just dream about walking out and like leaving and driving to the mountains. And I was like, at that point, I think I need to just quit and figure something else out. So I did. And building a business around that is the scariest thing because I wasn't trained for that. I was basically just meeting people, meeting strangers, talking to them, letting them know what I did. And, you know, people wanted to hear that and they want to be on board when you're passionate about what you do. And so it just kind of, don't get me wrong though, the first 2 years I weighed like 107 pounds and I lived off Eggo waffles and Top Ramen. So yeah, it really didn't start to take off until a couple of years ago.
So was there when you started, did you decide, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to specialize in lesbian weddings, or was it like, I'll take pictures of anything anybody asked me to take a picture of?
totally. So when I first started, I was not picky at all. I was like, I need to pay bills and eat because, and even at the point where I was like, I might need to apply at Starbucks part-time. I didn't even know how to make coffee, but I was like, I don't know that I'm going to be able to pay my rent. So at the beginning, it was super discounted, just trying to build a portfolio, which is crazy because usually people do that before they start a business.
Mm-hmm.
But, the lesbian wedding and marketing myself as an LGBT photographer honestly didn't come around until after that wedding went viral in 2013. And I think after that, I actually had to come to terms with a lot of things personally in order for my business to succeed. And I think that is a huge thing. I know we haven't touched on the Promote Love movement yet, but that is a huge thing in my heart.
No, I want to go there in just a minute. I was just kind of like, you know, there's like three pieces, right? There's how, you know, you're,
oh, totally.
You know, like three, like your little bit about your career decision, which I, you know, I always find those stories fascinating personally. And I think there's a lot of people out there who, you know, go through that. That, you know, there's a lot mm-hmm. of people like you sitting in their cubicles, you know, perhaps wearing heels and suits or not, you know, but
mm-hmm.
and they chase their passion or not, you know. And I mean,
right.
I just. Anyway, so you launched yourself. You were brave. You took step. You were building something, and you had this moment that probably a lot of people really, really, you know, kind of dream of. You know, maybe not photographing
mm-hmm.
a wedding and having it going
Definitely.
Viral. That launches them, right? And so I didn't know if you had decided, oh, I'm going to build this business as a specialty business. I never knew that part of the story. So you had a great
mm-hmm.
event happen, and then you sort of said, that's going to be my business plan. And,
right.
and now is a great chance to jump into, and in the last couple of years, as you've been kind of following that business plan, traveling
mm-hmm.
around the world, movement, Promote Love. And
right.
so let's jump to that. And then we'll come back a little bit at the wrap about, you know, anyway, go ahead. Let's talk about that. What's Promote Love?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say one more thing about this, how, and it kind of ties into to Promote Love movement and how it was started, which is, it's so close to my heart that it like almost, I don't know, it's hard to get the words out because I am so passionate about it because it's my story. It is so close to home. But when that wedding did go viral, I was faced with a huge decision in my career. Like, do I just keep doing what I'm doing, or I had to be true to myself and make a lot of decisions personally. And that, oh my gosh, I could talk about that forever. So if anyone is listening and wants to know more, please get in contact with me because I have a bunch of stories about that. But the Promote Love movement, it is, anytime I was interviewed by Huffington Post, Cosmo, Mashable, I would find myself using the phrase promote love, like we're promoting love together. This is incredible. And it really didn't hit me until about a couple months ago. I was like, you know what? This needs to be more than a phrase. This needs to be something bigger. And I right when I thought of that, I was like, oh my gosh, what have I been waiting for? Why have I waited so long to do this? And it's amazing who you meet, and it's the right timing. I walked into a brand new store in Dallas and started talking to the owner, talking about his designs. He has like a t-shirt shop in Dallas, and started talking to him about Promote Love and my idea, which had not even been born yet. It was just in the back of my mind. He's like, let's do this right now. And I was like, what do you mean let's do this right now? And he's like, what have you been waiting for? I was like, I don't have time. I'm trying to like run a business and it's crazy. And he's like, let's do it. We designed the logo right then and there, designed the t-shirts, had them printed. And I basically watched it was being born, like, right in front of my eyes. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. So I didn't even tell you what Promote Love Movement is, and that's the best thing about it, is that it started out, and no one knew the backstory. People just saw the shirts and the phrase, and they wanted to be on board with it, because love, it's just, it's so contagious in all of its forms. So people would buy the shirts and, like, start talking about it and spreading the word, and it hadn't even been launched, which is amazing. So Huffington Post wrote a little story on it about 2 months ago. The launch party was May 7th, so it's really, really fresh. But it's a movement that focuses on being true to yourself so that you can be true and love others and show support for your community, do good deeds. And then, but you know me, I'm all about the storytelling. So every Friday, we do a featured promote love story, and it's not just about couples and love. That's one of them, but it could be about good deeds. It could be about talking to a stranger and sharing a story or a common bond. Anything and everything. I have a new one that I'm working on, and I won't get into it, but that story launches next Friday, and it's so amazing. And I get to meet so many cool people and tell their stories, and every story deserves to be told. And so the action item is every what I ask people to do is to put a picture on Instagram showcasing how they promote love in their life, and to hashtag promote love, so it shows up in the feed, and then we feature the story every Friday. We have three different T-shirts, and all of T-shirt sale proceeds, portion of the proceeds go to a charity of choice every month. So we raised over, at the launch party, we raised over $500 to the Human Rights Campaign, which is incredible. People just came together for that. We've donated to local animal shelters, and it's just, the possibilities are endless. It's so exciting, and that's actually why I'm in Hawaii. Right now is speaking. I was speaking at a high school, and then I had a pop-up shop here in Waimea. So it's a lot of fun. It's so much fun.
Cool. I'm sorry. With the promote love, that's not really a business thing, right? I mean, you tell the stories, but that's really a passion calling for you. If I
understand. Oh my gosh. Yes, it doesn't even feel like work at all because it's so exciting. It's what I do every day anyway, like meeting strangers, talking to them, hearing their story, and then finding a common bond. And then there, I met a guy on a plane, and I talked to him the entire day for 2 hours, and we meet every month for dinner now. He was like one of my biggest supporters at the launch party. Those are the stories that need to be told. When you're meeting someone and there's not a wall up, there's not like judgments, it's just you're getting to know another human being, and it's not just an LGBT movement. It's a human thing. So I'm very excited about where it's going.
So do you feel I guess so you've had like these moments, right? You bought a camera and you had the wedding. You met this store. You were working with the guy. You know, you were doing some work with him, but you told him this story, this idea, and they jumped on it. Is this this luck? Is it passion? Is it talent? What do you attribute these moments? How do you think people find them? Is it just going out there and throwing yourself out there, or is there something more?
Definitely, I really do think that it is just allowing yourself to be open and raw and letting things come into your life without being guarded. I spent my entire life being closed off and guarded and hiding parts of myself and not telling my story for years, over 20 years. And now I'm like making up for lost time. Like I will talk to anyone and everyone. I'll talk to a brick wall. And I am so hungry to hear people's stories, but also to tell my story. Because I didn't for so long. And I think that everyone's story is so important. And that is how, like, you never know who needs to hear that story or what you need to hear from someone else and that bond that you're going to form and that friendship you're going to form. And everyone's like, oh, right place, right time. And I'm like, I've had that happen so much. It can't just be right place, right time. Like, it is about opening yourself up and listening, mostly listening, but then also sharing your story too and being proud of that story.
Do you see that, I mean, going back to sort of your HR roots, which I know are not, I mean, done for a while, it is what it is, right? I mean, I I've done HR, but different ways. Do you see applications, and this is probably a stretch, but applications of what you just said in HR, do you see this for brands, is this for individuals? What would you, because most of our listeners are HR practitioners, and so, you know, I'm trying to stretch this
tie it in.
Tie it in a little bit, yeah, because ostensibly we're an HR discussion show, right?
Right. No, totally. You know, I think back to, it was so long ago, and I was such a baby in HR. I didn't even know, you know, at the beginning what I was doing, but that is truly where I learned how to be a people person and come out of my shell. And I mean, I was sitting at the front desk. I had never done anything like that before. I was talking to business professionals who were like 20 years older than me. And, you know, I really just had to be a people person. And I think I was so terrified of that. I was very introverted growing up, even up until high school and college. And I think that, you know, I don't know if, yeah, it is a stretch, and I'm trying to give a good answer, but I know that by being in human resources, that is where I kind of came out of my shell.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So, you know, so there is no right or wrong answer on this show, right? Because, in fact, we're going to we're gonna change up our format soon, and we're going to start talking to people about failure. You know, this week is a little different. We've had scripted questions, or like,
right.
Tell us what keeps you up at night, what's top of mind, they're easy, they're broad.
Yeah.
They're 5 years old, so they're stale, you know, and so we're going to rework the show. We're going to take July off. We're going to rework the format a little bit. And we're going to talk about failure and what'd you learn, right? So, and that's exactly, you know, I mean, I didn't say you, hey, Steph, come on and tell us about your failures. But, I mean, that's exactly what failure is, right, is trying something. You quit your job, and it's turned into this awesome story. But it could just as easily have been that you did wind up working at Starbucks, which may also have
exactly.
But there was no guarantee with what you did, right? So
right.
You took a chance. You threw yourself out there, and now you're in Hawaii talking to me. How much better could it possibly get?
Exactly. I know. And you never know. Like, it could change up, and I could be doing something else, or, you know, but I am a huge believer in, you know, it's so cliche, but everything happens for a reason, and you have to make the best of every situation and trust that that is going to lead you to where you need to be. So,
it's hard,
yeah.
You know, you and I, you know, we see each other maybe once a year if I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see you at an event and you're working and all that kind of stuff. And so I don't really know you that well on a personal basis, but I have to tell you, hearing you say that you were an introvert is very surprising to me. That's not who you appear to be now, right? So you've obviously learned to present yourself when you need to. In a different way, or maybe you've just grown from an introvert into more of an extrovert. What do you think? Are you more extrovert?
Well, I know the answer for a fact, and you know, I think that growing up being introverted and shy, like in high school, no joke, I was just I went put my head down and then left. Like, I really only had a few friends, which is crazy because I'm so out there right now, like you were saying, but. It really did stem from accepting myself and loving myself, which is also the whole thing with Promote Love Movement, is like you can't truly love others in your community and, you know, your life if you don't come to terms with loving yourself and accepting yourself. And once I did that, you know, it was just such a healing thing, and I was able to succeed in my career. But I mean, that's the short of it, but it is, like I said, a long story. But that's really where it took a turn.
Yeah, and I understand. And we have a minute and a half left, so there's no way to get into that.
Oh, my
that
gosh.
Long.
Wow,
yeah, no,
that went fast.
Flies by.
I talk a lot.
Especially if you're having some – it's what I said. It's just a conversation, but it always goes by fast unless somebody's talking.
Right.
Or something. No, I'm kidding, because we actually had a guest on who did a great job talking to Arisa the other day, which I didn't do the show, but the guy was actually pretty good. So
right.
I shouldn't – anybody, I just would not be my topic of choice. Listen, we have 1 minute left. So again, where they can find Steph Grant, where they can go if they want to share a Promote Love story. And I want to thank you so much, especially given all the extra effort you had to go to find a place to talk to us, for being a guest on the show.
Oh, I wouldn't have it any other way. I love it. So if you want to find my photography and love stories, it's pretty easy. It's just Steph Grant, Grant, photography.com. And then Promote Love is promotelovemovement.com, and that's where the website lives and the stories. But really, it's mostly Instagram. I keep my Instagram feed pretty fresh, so if you want to see any of my adventures from, like, where I am right now in Hawaii, it's just I'm Steph. That's my Instagram name. I'm without the apostrophe. And then Instagram for Promote Love is Promote Love Movement. And then hashtag Promote Love if you want it to show up in our feed, and then we'll see those and choose a featured story.
Awesome. Thanks again. Enjoy the work/vacation you got going on in Hawaii, and really appreciate you on the show.
Thank
Take
you.
Care, Steph.
Thank
we'll
you
talk
so
to
much.
You.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye.